I don't think I have to announce anything further, do I? Any announcements? Amen. Let's close our eyes and pray. I guess you can keep them open if you'd like to. There's no biblical reason why we should close our eyes, is there? Sometimes we do stuff. Let's pray. We'll take the offering at the end of service. Father, we thank you for this time together. Tonight, we realize the sacredness of our gathering as the family of God in the earth. And so tonight we're reminded of how delicate life is. We pray for the family that your hands would be very real to them, your arms would be strong, that your breath would be warm upon their neck as you carry them through this deep valley of distress, as we sorrow for those we lose. Lord, we pray strength and consolation to them. The peace that surpasses all understanding would be with them. We ask for your wisdom and your anointing tonight as we discover your word yet again, that the teaching and the preaching of the word would not be with man's intelligence or eloquence, but it would be in demonstration and power of the Spirit. We give you all of our attention tonight, our hearts and our minds. We surrender to you and say, God, speak to us this evening as we celebrate the one and only Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, I feel like that one guy tonight that paints happy trees. You know who that is? Ross. Bob Ross. I'm going to get my Bob Ross on tonight just for you. Now, for those of you who don't know me, this may be your first time seeing me. I'm going to be crazy, so just be patient with me. If you have your Bible, go to John 15. I'm going to share with you a very familiar passage of Scripture that I'm certain you've visited once or twice before. This message that I'm sharing with you is a portion of it comes from the class that I teach on Saturday mornings. I teach in the North Coast Bible Institute back in Lorain. I teach on the book of Romans, and this kind of comes from that, out of Romans 11. And so this is a bit of the teaching that you would, kind of something that you would receive on a Saturday morning. So a little plug for the college there. And this is birthed out of my recent trip to Israel. We visited an olive oil factory while there. And while there, God began to speak on the oil and the anointing present that the oil represents, the anointing that is present in the oil. The product was the olive oil, and I can tell you that the process was exhausting. Some interesting things to note as we get started. The Hebrew word for olive tree. The tree represents something to us. But the Hebrew word is es shemen, which literally means tree of oil. The olive tree of oil. The olive tree is really quite ugly and messy if you were to look at it. While there, I posted a picture of one. And it's a really unsuspecting tree, this olive tree. Quite twisty and jaggedy. Not very big, but old. Antiquous, these trees. Remember, the tree stands for something. It's a very unsuspecting tree. Ugly in its presentation. Messy. Messy. It makes a mess. When we were there, there were pits and black stains everywhere because she makes a mess sometimes, this olive tree. But this olive tree has been present. It was there. And if you caught my post on Facebook, I posted a picture of the trunk of the tree and I put underneath it, I was there that night when Jesus was betrayed. Because they say that these trees are so antiquated, so old, that many of them in the Garden of Gethsemane would still be standing there today. And so the trees we were looking at were actually the trees that saw the events unfold on that very night of his betrayal. And so this tree, this antiquated, old, unsuspecting, messy tree as it is, stands for something. It's almost, another interesting notice, it's almost impossible to stop this tree's growth. Almost impossible. They say you can cut it all the way down to the ground, but that will not stop its growth. Shoots will come up out of the stump. Shoots will begin to come up out of the stump because it's relentless in its growth. It's relentless in its pursuit of what it was formed for. The tree stands for something. Another interesting thing to note is olive wood is very hard and beautiful. It's beautifully grained. Learned this while I was there. The Muslims do not want you to profess Christ, but they will carve Christ into an olive tree and sell you Christ. Just so long as you don't profess him, we can make a few dollars on him. And many times you would go, anybody here that went with me to Israel? Oh yeah, there you are. You were there. They would lock us in a room and they would begin to feed us food and sell us artifacts made from this hard tree. This tree, which is resilient, hard, but beautiful. Pushing through all obstacles, this tree, to grow. It is resilient. There is a product and there is a process of producing olive oil. There is a product of the tree, and there is a process. Let's talk about that process tonight. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, and you are the branches, and he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Ain't it the truth? This particular passage, while not speaking of the olive tree, it's actually speaking of the vineyard. But the truth is still relevant here in its application. I am the vine. The vine. Speaking of Jesus. Interesting to note, if you find Jesus Christ, find Christ anywhere in the Bible, and this is what Christ means. It literally means anointed one, anointed, actually more than that, it means anointed with olive oil. Christos, the Mashiach, actually means anointed, the Christ, the Christos, actually means anointed with olive oil. Is that me? Oh my goodness, the preacher didn't turn his phone on. Sorry. Anointed with olive oil. So, which one should I draw from? Let's use this one. So, I am the vine, Jesus says. So then there is a vine. There is a vine. This vine, Jesus says, is him. Jesus is the vine, the Christos. Remember what Christos means. The oily one. The anointed one. The anointed one with olive oil is what the Christos means. So Jesus says here in this opening passage, I am the vine. And then he moves on and says, you are the branch. So first of all, there is a vine and a branch. And there is a product inside of the vine. The product inside of the vine is the olive oil, correct? If he is the Christos, the anointed of olive oil, then what's inside of the vine is the oil. That's the product. Secondly, there is a branch that is mentioned here. You are the branch. All right? So then there's these branches. All right? I told you I was going to get my Bob Ross on. It's good, ain't it? He said, there is a branch. Right? He is the vine. You are the branch. Well, there is something in the vine, y'all. Something is in this vine. Because he is the Christos. The one, the oily one. The Meshach. The one that contains the oil. And what happens in this branch? Mark 6:13 says this, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. So if the branch is Christ, or if the vine is Christ, and the branch must be you or me. So that's you. You are the branch. And in that particular passage in Mark 6:13, the word oil actually means olive oil. It says, now go back and read it. And they cast out many demons and anointed with olive oil many who were sick and healed them. Christos being the one anointed of olive oil, and we being the ones who are casting out with oil many who were sick, you and I. So inside of this vine flows something. There is a flow that's coming to you and me. There is a natural flow that should be coming to you and me. If the tree and the branch and the vine and the branch are connected, then there is a flow that comes from the vine that naturally works its way to the branch. That you can't argue with that, right? I mean, that's just biology, right? That's biology. So look, that word olive oil, defined in Mark 6:13, it means this. It means the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Oil. The indwelling oil, whenever you see it in Scripture, is a reference to the Holy Spirit. And not only that, it's the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling power flows from the indwelling power of the Spirit of God flows from the vine and naturally moves its way towards the branch. Biology. Can't argue with that. There is a flowing within the vine towards the branches. And anytime there is a disruption in this flow, something is not, see, something's wrong. If there is something not getting to the branch, it's not the vine that's the culprit. See, the vine will always push towards the branch. But if something out here isn't getting what's coming from down here, then there's a problem somewhere in here. There's something stopping the flow of the anointing oil towards the branch. Would you agree with that? So we can't look back at the vine and say, something's wrong down on that end. If something's broke, something's broke up here. Okay. And notice this. There is, I want you to see this. I don't want anybody not to see this. Notice that the composition of the branch If you were to take a DNA sample, the branch and the vine, they would be identical, would they not? And so then we could agree that the branch is nothing more than a smaller version of the vine. It's lesser, but it is still the same. It holds the same stuff as the vine. It's just a little smaller right now. It's not as big as this yet. But if that tree keeps on producing what it's created to produce, it will eventually, see, this right here will eventually get this size, and this right here will eventually get. See, there is a natural progression in this particular text that's happening. It's unfolding right before your eyes. And unless you really take the time to analyze it, you'll look at this and go, that's not that. No. Take the branch and take the vine and examine them. And what you will find is the very same thing that's in the vine is the very same thing that is inside the branch. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the Bible says. The same spirit, the same indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, the same anointing that's in here is moving up and it's coming towards you. It's coming towards your situation. Now, if there's something blocking the flow, then we got some stuff we've got to do. We've just got to repent. The Bible says, just repent. Just repent and the flow will happen. Just repent. Just repent. Just repent. Just repent. Just repent. If we just repent, then suddenly the flow of God's anointing oil will break down the barrier and stuff will begin to come our way. Same. It's actually defined as a shoot or a twig, smaller than the vine, but one with the vine. One with the vine. It always amazes me, every time I read it, when Jesus said this, if you see the Father, you see me. Didn't he say that? He said, if you see him, you see me. And then later on, he's telling them, hey, fellas, this is how you pray. This is how you pray, our Father. Wait a minute. Whoa. So suddenly now, what Jesus is suggesting is, now he's our Father. And if you look at me and you see the Father, and he's our Father, then guess what? The same DNA that I have, you now possess. And so when they look at you, guess whom they see? They don't see you. They see whom? The Father. Because you and the Father now are one, just as me and the Father are one. They look at you, they see him. Same DNA. Branch, vine. Branch, vine. Same stuff. They looking at you, they seeing him. It's amazing. So, there is a branch. Composition of the vine is identical to the branch. This is that. 1 John 2:20 says, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now you read that a little differently, don't you? When you read that, now look, read it. Just read it with me. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know all things. You know stuff because he knows stuff. If you don't know stuff, then you don't know him. Oh, I know that's rough, but I didn't say it. John did. You have an anointing. You know what kind of anointing you got? Same anointing that comes through this vine right here. Same oil that flows through that vine comes to you. And the Bible says it gives you knowledge. Says you know a thing or two. Doesn't say you're stupid. Doesn't mean the world's smarter than you. Don't matter if a doctor says whatever a doctor says. A PhD, a lawyer, an attorney. Doesn't matter what they say. Because the Bible says this down here trumps that over there. This anointing here gives you wisdom beyond every circumstance. Just does. Just go ahead and get some of that. Now, if you don't know anything, then you need to get some of this. He'll give you the knowledge you need, but it's not found in this tree over here. This tree, sorry. And we'll talk about that tree in a minute. That over there doesn't produce the stuff you need. So, There is something flowing on the inside of you tonight. Something's flowing, isn't there? Something's flowing. Something's moving. The vine is pushing something in our direction. Now we misread that text. Go back to John 15, verse 5. Let's read it again. I am the vine and you are the... Wait a minute. There wasn't just one. There was branches. There was more than one. There's a branch here. There's branches. There's many. We have seven branches on this here tree. Hold on to that. Branches. So there's more than one branch. It's plural. And if the vine is Christ, and this branch is you, then these branches must be something. This is the church. I told you the tree is something. The tree is something. Now watch this. Notice that the vine, it is the prerogative of the... Listen to me. We might need to say it out loud. Write this down. It is the prerogative of the vine where the oil flows to. It's not this... See, this branch right here can't get mad at this branch over here. This branch can't say, I don't want to be associated with that branch. This branch can't accuse that branch and kick that branch out of the anointed one's flow. If the anointed one decides to flow oil over here, then that is none of our business. You can't kick that branch out. You can't judge that branch. You can't tell that branch they don't belong in this tree. You are not the branch police. You or I have one prerogative, one business. We got one assignment. That's to let the flow of the anointing come through the branch. I can't look over there at you and say, that's not how I would do it. That's terrible. You shouldn't be doing it that way. What do you mean making fruit like that? Allowing that oil? That's none of my business. I have to be busy about my Father's business, and that is allowing the oil that comes from the vine to flow through me. So don't get mad at me when you see oil coming from me. Don't get mad at me and judge me when I flow a certain way that you disagree with. Now we got all kinds of branches in this tree. Some branches are funny. Hey, look, some branches twist flags around in the air. You know what I mean? That's not how I kill giants. When King Saul said, put this armor on, David, David said, this doesn't work for me. This isn't how I do it. I'm not this kind of branch. That's not how I flow. Uh-uh. That's not how I get down. What do you mean wearing all them tattoos? Look, that's how I flow. I'm not messing with you for flowing how you flow. You know what I'm saying? You following me? I'm not mad at you for being, you know, twisty, you know. You can be all twisty if you want. That's your business. Actually, it's his business. This is what the Bible says. You will know them by their fruit. He didn't say you'll judge them by their fruit. He didn't say you will despise them by their fruit. He just said you'll know them by their fruit. So we're not branch police. Many, many branches in this thing called the church. The church. Now watch me. Romans 11, 17. Let's go there. And if some of the branches were broken off and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in, what is it? It's an olive tree. You are broken off. You are a wild olive tree. You were grafted in among them and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree. That's good stuff right there. Oh my goodness. Become a partaker of the root. Of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. So here Paul is explaining the concept of grafting. And he says, now I want you to notice, I want you to see yourself in this. He says, you here, you were this branch over here. And what God did was, he looked down and he saw you. See, when I say I see you, somebody said that to me the other day. He said, Troy, I see you. I said, good, that's great. No, Troy, I really see you. I see you. And when she said that, I said, oh, you know what? I understand what you're saying. Because God looks down and he sees you. And he sees inside of you the value of your life. He looks and sees what you're doing over here on this tree called death. And he says, look, I gotta take you off of this tree. Because this tree, I see value in you. I see what you're producing. And man, do I want some of what you got. I want some of the stuff that's inside of you to come and be a part of what I'm doing over here. And so miraculously, the mystery of salvation came to you. God chose you. You didn't choose him. You didn't decide when you were going to church. You didn't decide that day that destined you when you raised your hand or made a decision in your heart. You didn't decide it. God looked down and he saw you. He saw value in you. And he looked and he saw so much value in you that he said, look, I need you to be a part of this over here. So I'm going to graft you in. I'm actually going to take you out of this and I'm going to include you into this. You're now going to be a part of me. You're not going to be a part of them anymore. That anymore. Understand. And then Paul goes on to talk. He says, who do you think you are? Thinking that you could go back to this. You can't go back to this. You're over here in me. And suddenly you think you can go back to this? Backsliding it's a mystery to me. Because if you realize what you're sliding back into, you realize that there's nothing but death. This tree is dead. This is a tree of death. And you can no more disconnect and go back to this. That time is finished. You have now been grafted into. God saw value in you, and he saw what you would produce in this tree. And so he put you in there. Every one of us tonight brings to this tree, this family of God, such value, such worth. So we can't just not contribute what is flowing from the vine. You see, we do such injustice to the vine when we refuse to release what the vine has flowed into us. We do such injustice if we refuse to let go of what the vine is pushing into us. We refuse to release it. We do injustice to it. We dishonor the vine. By not producing, we are dishonoring the Christos, the anointed one. When we refuse to produce what is being produced inside of us and we don't let it go, we dishonor the vine. And something's coming. Something's coming when that happens. We are no longer a self-existing tree. Colossians 3:3 says we died and our life is now hidden in this vine. A tree that produces the anointing of God for the earth. That's what we are. We are manufacturing. Watch this. We are manufacturers. We manufacture the anointing of God for the earth. It's what we manufacture. Now, moving on from the church, the branches, let's go back to John 15, verse 5. John 15, verse 5. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears, what's it bear? Much fruit. That's what kind of fruit we're supposed to be growing. Some fruit. We bear much fruit. Interesting to note this word in the Greek, karpos. It means fruit, but it also means something more. It means results. Now let's read that. I am in the vine and you are in the branches. He who abides in me and I am him bears much results. We bear results. Why do we bear results? We bear results because this oil that flows through the vine works its way to the branch. And what the branch naturally does, what the branch naturally produces is something called fruit. Fruit. Results. Results. When we are connected to the vine and there is no disruption of the flow of the oil from the vine to the branch, then what naturally occurs in the life of the believer is fruit or result. You always know when somebody's healthy in their connection with their Savior because what they produce is results. They reproduce themselves. They produce results. There is something that rests upon their life. There is a residue of the oil that's in the vine that comes upon them, and it is a natural occurrence. If a tree is healthy, a tree will bring forth fruit, and the fruit that comes from your my life is the anointing of God. It is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is something different. The anointing, you can act in love, but if the love is not anointed, it's just clanging brass. If your works in the ministry don't have the anointing, then it's fruitless. It doesn't even matter. You can speak in tongues all you want, but if it's not anointed, it doesn't have the qualities of the vine. You can prophesy all day long. I mean, you can speak miracles. You can tell people they're male, but if it's not anointed, it doesn't even matter. You might as well be Nostradamus. You might as well be a Mayan calendar, because it's not. If it's not anointed, then it's for nothing. So we're not after the fruit; we're after the flow. Oh, Jesus, what we need is the flow of this oil to come through the branch, work down in through here, come out over here. And when we lay hands on the sick, pow, they recover. When we pray for revival, boom, it erupts. You get enough of these branches making fruit up here, and oh my goodness, suddenly you have what is called a harvest. And the Bible says the harvest is ripe, it's white, it's ready. I mean, it's there. It's just somebody, please, just shake the tree a little bit, and the harvest will fall. Fruit results. The fruit from the branch is as a result of the flow from the vine. We need to pray for more flow from the vine. But realize that fruit results is a natural occurrence of a healthy tree. Amen? Now, there's something we're missing here. John 15, verses 1 to 2 says this. It says, now this is the vine talking again. He says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So then we have something else the Father up here, and He is the vine dresser. He's the vine dresser. And you know when the vine dresser is messing with you. You know it. Because let me tell you how they get the fruit off this tree. They take this machine and they attach it to it, and suddenly they shake it violently. This tree gets shook so violently that any fruit up there begins to fall down. And I can't tell you how many people say, I accepted Jesus, and suddenly the floodgates of hell unleashed in my life. Suddenly, nothing in my life is stable. Everything has been shaken. I mean, I can't even go to the restroom in peace. Everything around me is falling apart. What is going on? You're connected to the vine. If you got shaken, if there is some shaking in your life, if there is some uneasiness, some disturbances in your life, let me encourage you with saying the Father, the vine dresser, is trying to get a release from you. He's shaking you violently because what He's trying to do is get you to release what the Anointed One has put in you. He's looking to release something. He's saying, let go of it, let go of it, let go of it. And I'm not letting go. And let go of it. And I'm not, these are mine. And you eventually you're like, all right, fine, just let you take it. Take all of me, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, take it all. Amen, right? He says, oh, Jesus. I remember when I did it. Oh, Jesus, you can have it all. It was this morning. By every second Tuesday of the month, right? But He's trying to get you to release the anointing that's on your life. There's an anointing on your life. There's an indwelling power of the Spirit of God on your life. Look at point at you. Point at you, everybody. He's talking to you. There's an indwelling power of the Spirit of God on your life that God's attempting to get you to release to the earth. Because when this fruit drops, where's it go? There's little grass down here, little happy grass. Maybe a little weed right here. Maybe a little flower. Look at that. See that? Flower. He's trying to get you to drop your anointing to the earth. Get something to release. Now, I said all of that as an open to this. Part two. There are three qualities of olive oil anointing that exists on every believer. You drawing the parallel there? Three qualities, three levels of anointing of every believer that come from that vine. In this olive oil factory, they said the number one, the best of the production that comes from the first press, produces what is called extra virgin olive oil. You know this? So extra virgin oil. And they say that they take it from the tree and they put it in a press and they run it over once. That's one press. Comes from one press. One press. And from that, what they get the best product of the olive oil. Inside of the extra virgin, they say there are more nutrients. There's medicinal factors, you know, nutrients in there. The quality of the taste is rich. It looks pure. It is the purest form of olive oil right here. The believer that stays in close proximity to the vine. The closer to the vine, the better the product. Closer to the vine, better the product. This is a believer here that they're smoking what they're selling. They believe in their product. They go to church. They practice the word. They look like it and they taste like it. They got qualities of the vine and characteristics of the vine within them. They carry a measure of that anointing on themselves. You following me? The second is virgin. Now, interesting to note, this is the second press. The second press produces virgin. And what they do is they run it over again. Same stuff, run it over again. Mash out some more oil from that. Twice removed from the vine, here's what they say about this virgin stuff. They say, don't buy this. It's cheap. It's a knockoff of the first. It looks like it, tastes like it, a little bit, but it lacks the substance of the first. Oh my goodness. Lacks the substance of the first. Too far removed from the vine, now suddenly it loses its substance. It loses its weight. It loses its taste. It loses its nutrients. It loses the composition that was once found in the vine. Now suddenly, because it's twice removed from it, been mashed over twice, suddenly it's not carrying what the first carries. It's carrying, actually, it has nothing. It just comes in, comes out. Comes into church, sits down, pretends like it's that, looks like it, smells like it. And if somebody got up next to you and licked you, you might taste a little bit like it. But you don't, but you're not it, right? This is the second level of anointing. Okay. Oh my goodness. Let's not be the third one. And the third type of Christian is this. This is from the third press, and this is nothing more than fuel. Nothing more than fuel. And in this one, this is what the virgins in Matthew 25 would have been using to light their lamps. And this is a reference to the laboring Christian. Laboring for relationship, but way too far removed from the vine. Proximity to the vine is so distant, they're a day late and a dollar short. They know what is required from the vine, but blatantly neglect the vine. These are those Christians that find themselves in the dance club on Saturday night. These are those Christians that think, it's cool, we can drink a little Seagram's. They're so distant from the vine, they blatantly disregard it and think, they just think, I'm a good person. I do good things for people. I'm not a bad person. I go to church every once in a while. I even give to those, a dollar to at McDonald's, during Shamrock Month. I'm a good person. Nobody's going to give a dollar now. Watch. No, I don't want to be that kind of Christian. You could be that kind of Christian too. They desire substance but neglect relationship. They desire this. They desire this. But there's something that has to happen in here. And that means there has to be a connection to the vine. And we can take this and that would be good and we could go home, but there's more. There's something more. So we'll just get rid of these. If there's a 1, a 2, and a 3, I would call this a 0. This would be a 0. There's something more, and they shared this with us while we were there. And when he shared it, I'm like, oh, you just ran past that, but I want you to camp out there. It says that the oil they would use to anoint the priests and the prophets in the Old Testament would be used when they would shake this tree. They would take these olives as soon as they fell. And they would store them in this little container. and they would allow them to sit there until they sweat. And they would take that sweat from the vine, and then they would anoint the most holy things. They would anoint the prophets and the priests with this oil. This is the sweat of the olive oil, according to Jewish tradition. This would be the oil that would be found in Luke 8:44, where the woman came from behind and she touched the hem or the tassel of Jesus. Because this would have been the oil that would have ran down this rabbi and down into his tassel. And she said, if I could just but touch the tassel, I know that inside of that tassel, there is an anointing that's found there. I realize that if I can get into the flow, the power of the release of the flow of God, then I can just be healed. And so what she was reaching for here was the sweat of the vine. And it's found in the tassel. The proximity to the vine, closer to the vine, the purer the substance. Tonight, what we need to do is grab the tassel. We need to be reaching for the tassel. Because in the tassel, there is an anointing, there is power that's trying to be released to the earth that will provide healing, that will give us nutrition in our physical body, in our mortal bodies. There's a flow that's found in the tassel. How close can we get? We must ask ourselves. How close can we get to this tree? How close can we get to this vine? Because there's something that's revealing itself. The closer to it, the purer the anointing. The closer we can get to the vine, the purer the anointing oil that comes from it. This is zero press. There is no press involved here. Just sweat. Just take it off, let them sweat, that's it. How close can we get? Go with me. God bless you. To Zechariah 4, 11 to 14. We're wrapping it up. Now, Zechariah here, he sees something. He is, the prophet Zechariah is the equivalent, the Old Testament equivalent of the book of Revelation and John. Zechariah here is seeing something. Now, what I'm about to suggest to you is not a contradiction to end time prophecy. I'm suggesting something broader here, okay? What Zechariah is looking at, he's seeing imagery that the Lord is showing him. Got me? So many times the Lord would show the prophet something, and he would say, what do you see? Now let's follow here. Then I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees? You see this? There are two olive trees that Zechariah sees. He's seeing imagery. He sees two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and at its left. Now suddenly, there is something called a lampstand that is introduced in the book of Zechariah. Right? Lampstand. He sees at the right, at the left of the lampstand, there are these trees. Ooh, Jesus. There's some trees that Zechariah sees. Let me read it from here. This is from the Message. And the two olive trees on either side of the lampstand. And I asked, what's the meaning of them? And while you're at it, the two branches of the olive trees that feed oil of the lamps. What do they mean? He said, you haven't figured that out? And I said, no, sir. He said, these are the two who stand beside the master of the whole earth and supply golden lamp oil worldwide. Now, see what he's looking at. He sees two trees that are standing beside, and what they're doing is they're pouring out oil worldwide. And he sees them standing beside, and what they're doing is they're just releasing oil. They're just dripping oil down to the earth. They're letting oil flow off of them down to the earth. They stand beside the Lord of the whole earth, the Bible says. These are two anointed ones. If you take that expression that says two anointed ones, you know what that means? Two anointed ones. It means sons of, watch this, fresh, guess what? Oil. So there's a negative one. There's a negative one. And this negative one, it never comes off. It never comes off. It never disconnects from this. It stays there. And Zechariah says, what I see are these two trees, they're dripping. They're dripping oil to the earth. I see them dripping oil. That's what Zechariah sees. Now, go to Revelation, verse 1, 12 to 16. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw, what do you see? Seven golden lampstands. Now what John is seeing here, he's seeing imagery. He's telling a story from the island of Patmos, and he's telling the story, and many believe he's telling it in code. He's telling what he sees in code, because he realizes if he tells it in reality, then Caesar will have him murdered, because he's professing a king called Jesus and not Caesar. Follow me? But what he sees, he's seeing something in the spirit. And what he's seeing in the spirit, he's declaring. He's saying what he's seeing. Go ahead to the next. Or no, where'd I go? 12 to 16. Next verse. No? I'll read it. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about his chest with a golden band. His head and hair were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. He said, I see in these seven lampstands. And if you go back to Revelation, you'll see that Jesus is there talking to the seven churches. He's talking to the seven churches, which are these lampstands represented, which are these trees, these seven churches. Remember, the tree is the church of God. And Jesus here in Revelation, what John is seeing is he's seeing Jesus standing in the midst of the church in the last day. He sees Jesus standing in the middle of the church in the last day. And what he sees is exactly what Zechariah sees. You following that? Now go to Revelation 11, verse 3 to 4. And look what he says. He said, I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. Remember what Zechariah said about these trees. He said, these trees, he's seeing the same thing that John's seeing. I see trees, and I see trees standing beside Jesus in the last day. And doesn't this look like something to you? Doesn't this kind of look like a tree to you? And I see in the last day these trees giving forth oil. They're dripping oil towards the earth, and it's for the earth. Church, can I tell you, this is you. This is me. We are the last days church. These two trees that Zechariah saw, these two trees that John the Revelator saw, is you and it is me. We are the church in the last days that will drip forth, that will be dwellers of the vine. We won't be disconnected from the vine. We will be in the vine. We will be
dwellers in the vine, and we will drip forth the oil and the anointing of God towards the earth. This is the proclamation tonight from the Lord towards you and me to suggest that you and I are dwellers in the vine. There's a place that we can become so intimately acquainted with Christ that we don't need to disconnect from this tree. We don't need to be disconnected. We don't need to be distant from Him. We can find inside. We can find ourselves inside of this vine. We can dwell within the vine. And in the last days, if you and I will decide, I'm no longer going to be that first kind of Christian. That's a good kind to be. That would be awesome. But I need more. I need some power to be released from my life. I need the anointing of my life to drop down onto the earth and spring up the fruit of the earth. I need what's inside of me to raise the dead. I need cancer to go away when I lay my hands on them. I'm not after a big car or a fancy house. What I need is what's in the vine. If He said, I will do greater works than Him, then I'm looking for Him, baby. I'm after Him. Oh, just let me find Him. But it's not found in disconnecting from the vine. It's only found when you find yourself in the vine, when there becomes so much of a oneness between you and He that there is no separation. There is no disconnect. Our prayer and fasting is how this happens. Prayer means I'm connecting to the vine. And fasting means I'm disconnecting from everything else. I'm finding myself found in the vine. And if you're looking for that kind of power, well, it's not found in disconnecting. It's only found in the Christos of God. It's only found in the anointing, the olive oil anointing of God. But we've got us a church that sings beautiful songs. We got us a tree that's beautiful. She's a big old grand tree. She's big. People look upon her. So look at that tree. Look at how big and beautiful that tree is. And Matthew 13:13 says, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's like a mustard seed. And when a man takes a mustard seed and he plants it in the furrows of his garden, suddenly there's a steady, silent production that happens on that day when he plants it. And before you know it, he looks around and that mustard seed weed produces such a tree that it's not just a big grand massive display of beauty, but rather it's a weed that takes over the entire garden. It covers every furrow. It runs over everything else and consumes it. This is what the Bible says the kingdom of God is. It's a mustard seed weed that produces the anointing of God for the earth. It drips continually the oil from heaven towards the earth that needs it. It's you and I. What Zechariah saw, I believe, is you and me. I believe Zechariah saw the church in the last day so connected to the vine, the oil, the anointed, the Meshach, Yeshua, so connected to Him that they become one with Him, and that whatever flows from Him flows through me. And suddenly, the anointing that He gives, I release. And I just continue to release. And I continue to release. And these works that were found in Him are suddenly found in me. And now I'm giving them away as He's given them to me. I'm dripping oil from the lampstands of heaven to the earth. That's what Zechariah saw. That's what I believe John saw. He saw Jesus standing in the midst of the church. In the midst of the church. And allowing, just allowing Himself to abide in her. And as He abides in her, she drips oil. Now remember what I said at the beginning. It's an olive tree. It's an olive tree. It's quite ugly and messy. She's ugly and messy. Oh, this church is ugly and messy at times. She makes mistakes. She's a little bit messy. She puts her pits on the ground. She makes a mess. She's unsuspecting. She's impossible to stop, though. She's impossible. You can't stop her. You can cut her down to the ground. You can call her ugly. I wouldn't call the bride of Christ ugly, by the way. If you call my bride ugly, we're going to have to talk. And so all the bashing of the church by the church, we must stop. We must realize that we're speaking of Christ's beloved. When we bash other branches, when we talk bad about the church, when we attack the leadership instead of pray for the leadership, you realize that when we do that, we are telling Jesus his bride is ugly. Call my bride ugly. I dare you. Call my wife ugly. You'll see a side of me you won't like. Can you imagine Jesus when we malign his beautiful bride? When we curse her, when we talk about her. He gave his life for the church. Oh, this young generation full of rage against her. They're just a bunch of hypocrites. No, she's the church. She's the church. She's impossible to stop. You can't stop her. She's relentless. And she's hard. She's resilient. And she's beautiful. She's beautifully grained inside of this church. It's you and I. You and I are this tree that was found in John 15, verse 5. Closest to the vine produces the highest quality of anointing. Tonight, would you stand with me and choose to become a dweller of the vine, a son of fresh oil? If that's your cry tonight, I just want you to stand to your feet and lift your hands toward Jesus tonight. And recognize tonight, we recommit our covenant to you, Jesus, to become dwellers of the vine, to be so intimately acquainted with you that we are inseparable, that it's impossible to tell where you stop and we start, or where you start and we stop. We want to become one with you. We want to be one with you. When they look upon us, may they truly see dwellers of the vine, those so close to the vine that we drip with the residue that's found inside of the vine. And this is what the earth needs. This is what we need tonight, Jesus. So we connect to you tonight. We reconnect to you tonight. If we've not known you ever, we declare tonight that you are our source. We believe that you are the Son of God, that you were slain before the foundations of the world for our sin, that you see inside of us value, and you graft us into your heavenly plan. We thank you for doing that. And when we do that, we call upon your name. You make us your sons and your daughters. We become dwellers of the vine. This is the closest that we can get to you. And this is what we need, dear Jesus. We reconnect. If we've in some way tried to disconnect and reconnect and disconnect and reconnect, tonight we declare, we resolve inside of our hearts and in our minds that we will become one with you, that we will find ourselves so ingrained in you that it is impossible for us to separate. That we will allow the flow of the Spirit of God to be released from our lives and bring healing. The healing balm of Gilead. The healing balm of Gilead will rest upon us. And as we rub up against this world, they will sense it. Thank you, Jesus. Pray for healing right now, Jesus. The healing residue that's found in you. Come to those that are in need in this building tonight. That it would flow through them towards those that need it, God. Towards Al Tortorella, release your anointing. Towards Stephen Cox tonight, release your anointing. Shannon Morris, we release the anointing towards her tonight. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that the composition the oil in us is the same that's in you. And so we expect the same results. The same power that raised Christ from the dead now dwells inside of our mortal bodies. Now we release it to this earth that's in need. We call forth those that are walking in darkness tonight. Those lost loved ones that we pray for every day. We release the anointing of the power of the Spirit of God to go and arrest their hearts and capture them right now, wherever they're at. Over our children, over our school system, over this region. We release the anointing of God, that it would flow from the family of God, from the tree of God, that it would fall to the earth and that it would produce much fruit. We give you praise tonight. Thank you, for you are wonderful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. On your way out tonight, they're going to receive the offering. Thank you for your faithful giving. It is the tree of God that's going to bring healing to this land. The tree of God, you and me. So we thank you for your faithful giving tonight. You can give on the way out. If you need prayer tonight, the altar ministers are going to come now. If you need prayer, if you gave your life to Jesus tonight, you sense Him calling you tonight, we want to pray for you. If you need a prayer for healing, a baptism of the Spirit, we want to pray for you. If you have specific needs, you need a word from the Lord about something specific, we want to pray for you. Altar ministers, please come and help the people of God. If you need prayer tonight, please come. Live right, love everybody, pray hard. The altars are open as well. I mean, you could just come and soak in the presence of God if you like. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.